Now, we know most grey nomads are excellent road companions, but after the restrictions of the past 2 years, a lot of people are deciding to hit the road in caravans and RVs, recreational vehicles, and some of them are out of practice or they've never driven large vehicles with even larger payloads. Is that a worry for all road users? Wilver Hall is Business Management Accountant at the Campervan and Motorhome Club of Australia, the CMCA. Wilver, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. And Cameron Waring is Director of Research and Development and Training at the Australian Driving Institute. Cameron, great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Now, Wilver Hall, is the popularity of caravanning increasing?
Absolutely. We're getting more and more RVers out there on the road as people can't travel overseas. So they're travelling domestically.
And just explain a bit what an RV is. What kinds of vehicles does it encompass?
So it includes caravans, camper trailers, motorhomes, camper vans, fifth wheelers, all of those sorts of RVs. Yeah, fifth wheelers.
That's a kind of really huge thing, isn't it? The kind of props on the back of is it a ute you have to put it on?
Yeah, so they have the tow hitch above in front of the back axle of the ute instead of behind the vehicle.
Okay, so yeah, there's some large things and things that might be tricky to hitch and learn how to drive and share the roads with. Is there an increase in accidents involving RVs, do we know?
It seems to be. What's really difficult is how all the states categorise their statistics differently and whatnot. So it's quite hard to get a real grasp on the issue out there. We're doing a lot of research with a PhD through CarsQ, studying the issues that are happening for the RVers out there.
And I imagine insurance companies would be pretty interested in this too. And there are some statistics from them, I understand.
Yeah, we've done a bit of research with some insurance companies and it's indicating about 8% of RVers are having some sort of accident each year. And when there's so many out there on the roads, as you said earlier, over 800,000 of them, that's quite significant.
That is scores of thousands of accidents every year. Why do you think that this is becoming such a big issue at the moment, Wilver?
I think people that are new to RVing don't quite understand how it's quite different to driving a normal vehicle. So there's a bit more to it, and without that experience and knowledge, they put themselves at risk without realising it.
We're speaking with Wilver Hall, who's from the Campervan and Motorhome Club of Australia. Perhaps this is something that you have noticed on the road, or perhaps you drive one of these large vehicles and have some cautionary tips for other people who are wanting to take up this very lovely pastime. It can be a great way to see Australia. Cameron Waring, Director of Research and Development and Training at the Australian Driving Institute. You travel a fair bit for your job. What are you noticing?
Well, anecdotally, the increased volume of traffic on the road with RVs, and we've also, just talking around the table at work, have noticed that there's a distinct increase in younger users.
That's interesting. What's going on there, do you think?
Well, it's only anecdotal, so I just think that it's more people who are exposing themselves at an earlier age. You know, the couple of drives that I recall it just seemed to be a bit of a theme of a young mum and dad with quite young children with their 70 series Land Cruiser and their caravan. It just seemed to be a lot of them. It was just an observation, so nothing scientific.
Is it cheaper to you know, hire or buy an RV than, you know, maybe the traditional backpacking trip to Europe or take the family overseas these days?
I think it's more convenient.
Yeah.
So you can take your house with you and off you go. And it's just a convenient way to go further. Depending on the type of caravan you've got, you can go quite a way off the road and into the bush. And then you've got the other ones that are quite opulent and they never leave the highway and just go into the camping zone and then trundle off down the highway to the next one. So you've got a huge variety of type. And there does seem to be, you know, the availability of the bigger ones too. And I wonder whether we're heading down a bit of a pathway of recognising that firstly you're towing something and then in some situations you're towing something that's quite significant. So I think that's one thing that we're looking at. I think the discussion should happen. But the other discussion is that the fundamental driving standard, you know, there's a lot of optimism bias in the driving game, and we come across that as a daily thing, that out of a group of drivers that we're educating, there's going to be a fair percentage of them that, you know, it won't happen to me, or I don't need this, I've been driving perfectly for 20 years, what are you going to teach me, you know, type attitudes, and there's a fair percentage of that, and which unfortunately I think is a bit of a cultural thing in Australia.
So what kinds of driving practices or bad habits do you see that don't play so well in a really big heavy vehicle, especially if you're towing something as well?
I think one of the first things actually starts with attitude and preparation. So the preparation, the understanding that what they're towing could be quite heavy, appreciating whether their vehicle is still legal or not. You know, there's some situations where you see the Land Cruiser is totally loaded up. I'm picking on Land Cruiser. I shouldn't be doing that. The four-wheel drive they've got is all loaded up, and that's up near the maximum. And then their vehicle is also, their caravan rather, is loaded up to the maximum, and there's plenty of chances there where someone's gone and put bed sheets in the back of their caravan and they're suddenly overweight. And so the car's no longer legal to be used on the road. And if they have an incident, they've got to wear that responsibility themselves. And then the second part of it is actual driving technique, where the driving standard is poor, and that's where the optimism bias really comes into it, is that they're doing things and don't realise how dangerous it is.
I imagine it'd take longer to brake in a big heavy vehicle than it would with your average family car.
Well, yes and no. The modern day caravans are a pretty good thing, and you can have electric brakes fitted to them, and they can pull up in a very short distance. It'll be still a long distance, but when you look at the stuff that winds up on YouTube, when you look at a lot of the reports, it's because they've managed to lose control of the caravan, and you might say that you know, our bad roads, it was the road's fault. When the road is a more of an inanimate object than a car, so the road can't do a thing. It's how you approach it, and I'll throw it out there as one of the most serious things that I can think of, is that not so much the speed that people are doing. It's important that they keep moving along at a sensible and sustainable speed, but one thing you'll see in Australia an awful lot is one hand at the top of the steering wheel when they're driving at about 100 k's. and that is a frightfully dangerous thing to do, that a lot of people don't realise that that's actually causing the problem.
So what can happen if you're driving like that with one hand at 12 o'clock?
Okay, so with that, the higher your hands are on the wheel, so I'll preface this by saying that in a perfect world, your hands would never leave the steering wheel, and they would be wrapped around the wheel at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock on an analog face. And you would never use the top half of the steering wheel. And I know never's a long time, but you don't ever want to use the top half of the steering wheel, especially at high speed. And so when you put one hand at the top of the wheel, all you need is a bit of a fright, or maybe you even get some wind shear from a truck that upsets the balance of your trailer. And the steering input that you have at the top of the steering wheel will always be faster than it is if your hands are at 9 and 3. And that can happen just a very brisk, simple, like short turn. But if it's fast enough, that can incite a sway, which can incite a slide. And the saying that we use here is that the poor driver suddenly becomes a passenger. And they've got a cabin full of arms trying to keep the steering up with the slide that's occurring. And then they roll the thing into a ball into the bush.
Oh, dear. We've got several texts coming in, Cameron. One says, I wish Cameron had taught me to drive. I was taught 10 and 2 o'clock. And other people saying, so many people tow overweight rigs, caravans, gooseneck horse floats, etc., and they have no idea what their tow rating is or the weight they're towing. This person says, we need weigh stations and policing. There's no disincentive and they're so dangerous for others on the road. Wilver Hall, how easy is it for people buying a van or an RV for the first time to know what their weight rating is and how to weigh it and where?
So the weight ratings are all in the owner's manual or stamped on the compliance plates of the vehicle, but they are really quite confusing, all the acronyms and whatnot and what you need to comply with. So you are best off getting weighed, and you can go to a public weigh bridge, or there's also lots of mobile weighing services now that can come to you and weigh your vehicle fully loaded up, ready for your trip, including your passengers, your fuel, your water, and see where you actually are at. And if you need to adjust anything.
Well, that's handy because they could come and walk you through the hitching process so you didn't have to do something dangerous on the way to get to them.
Yeah, they can really help you out. And give you an idea of your weight distribution, because it's not just how heavy your vehicle is, but it's also where you put the weight, because you don't want too much tow ball weight, you don't want not enough tow ball weight, you don't want too much in your vehicle versus your trailer and vice versa. There's a lot to it, and it is quite complex and difficult to understand, unfortunately.
Well, and Wilver, you're from the Campervan and Motorhome Club of Australia. Do you think there's enough education at point of sale where people are shown how to safely hitch and, you know, talk through the weight requirements and things like that? Is there a problem with how these RVs are marketed and sold, perhaps?
It depends a lot on the dealer, and it also depends even just when you purchase your tow vehicle. They can be sold with a 3.5 ton towing capacity, but the reality is that they can't actually tow that in practical life. And we also have the secondhand vehicle market. A lot of these new RVs heading out are purchasing secondhand vehicles from private buyers, so there is no education process as part of that.
Yes, indeed. And Wilver, I understand too that as well as the safety issues on the road, there's some etiquette issues that the trucking industry is concerned about some aspects of sharing the road with RVs. Tell us more about that.
It is obviously when we're out on the motorways and whatnot, the caravans and motorhomes are sharing the road with the trucks, and the trucks are on their timed routes to do their job. And RVs need to allow them to get past and let them do what they need to do. But there's etiquette around being overtaken or overtaking, and also rest areas, making sure that RVs aren't in the truck-only rest areas. But obviously, RVs still need to make sure they rest appropriately as well.
And I would like to say I'm sure that most RV users, recreational vehicle users and caravanners are keen to know more about safety. And I'm sure based on the text messages we're getting, people are committed to that. Cameron Waring, is this something that you've seen, that there are sometimes issues between some RV drivers and truck drivers when it comes to sharing the road?
Yeah, and probably other drivers too. Given that the vehicle's reasonably complex, and if they're going in groups, there was one drive I did between Winton and Longreach, and I was astounded by, firstly, the sheer volume of that type of vehicle out there, but also how close they travelled together. And it was like you're passing 15 road trains. So they were too close together. The etiquette of allowing other traffic to move around them, I thought, was poor. But that was only that one experience that I'm drawing from. But you do hear a lot from truckies. We speak to them. Probably not the most patient breed as well. But at the end of the day, I think that there is a method. Firstly, everyone respecting everyone's road space, whether it be push bike, whether it be car, RV, caravan, truck, and so on. So there needs to be a little bit more respect there. But I actually believe, and this is a bit contentious, but I believe that you should have your license endorsed to do towing that's on a trailer which has brakes. So if you take your humble garden trailer, I'm not so worried by that. But once you start going into multiple axles, if you're getting into braking that's required through the trailer, I think you should have your license endorsed, which means there should be a recognised training program. But I also think there should be induction at the point of sale, which is seen as sort of a reasonable thing to do. I think, like Wilver's Club, for example, that's brilliant. And Wilver, by the way, is an absolute gem of information. Their club has got really good things to become informed of. And then I think the insurance companies need to sort of help a little bit by saying, this is where we're seeing problems, this is what we'd like to address. And
saying they should say, we'll bump up your premiums if you don't get some change.
They're going to have to. They have to. You know, they're there to make money, not make friends. And so but I think we need to go back to an endorsed license. And that's just a few hundred bucks, which would include training, and then you can be signed off and go, right, now you're confident to go. And that includes things like reversing, because there's such a naughty attitude towards reversing. The attitudes you hear about that are, if a truck reverses this way, that's how you should reverse, or if you're not man enough because you can't reverse your trailer into a parking spot. And it gets a bit mundane to watch at the old parking places. And I think that, like, to also provide the confidence and say, well, this is how to do this, and because it's a great way to see the country, right? You just don't want to get in the way of everyone.
Well, exactly. And utilise your local club is a great message. Wilver Hall, what are your thoughts on that idea that you need some more licence compliance regulations for big vehicles?
I think it's, It's got a lot of merit, but it would be difficult to implement. But so at the moment, we just need to encourage people to educate themselves. If you have never towed or you're a little unsure, go do a towing course. There are some great providers out there. And go practice in quiet places, like go practice in a local car park you're reversing before you head out and you get to the caravan park and it's, you know, panic stations.
Yep, and try it at night too, because you're going to need to be doing that at some point. Wilver Hall, thank you so much for your time today, Business Management Accountant at the Campervan and Motorhome Club of Australia.
Thank you.
And Cameron Waring, Director of Research and Development and Training at the Australian Driving Institute. Very educational. Thank you for your time.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.